Morning, you heard my name. I'm not the preacher, so you can all relax. Isn't that good news? I'm just an ordinary guy out there in the marketplace, but I've got one qualification that qualifies me to stand here this morning. I love Jesus. So, of course, that's my qualification. Not all the other things Charlene said, they are true, but not for here. The thing that counts here is that I love Jesus. Okay, can we just pray and just ask the Lord to be present? Lord, we just sang that beautiful song, Lord, that you're all we want and you're all that we need. And Lord, it is so in line, Lord, with what your Spirit has laid in my heart to share this morning. And therefore, we just ask, Lord, that in this moment we'll just become quiet before you. And Lord, I ask that you will just open our hearts. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll just minister individually to each of us. And Lord, you'll meet us where we are and you'll take us from here, Lord, on a new journey. Lord, thank you that we can just give this, the rest of this morning to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so that's the title of the talk I want to talk about. I don't know where I got this. It may even be Tiens who said it. I don't know, but I got it recently. I was so impressed with this as I wrote it down in my little book, my diary I keep it with. And the words are, let's make God our first refuge and not our last resort. You know, we have a very good friend who's a pastor, not from this church, from another church, and he one day said, he's got a real Pentecostal voice, you know, so Jehovah stem, and he says, you know, the lady who came to him and said, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried that, and she said, no blame Eddie here at work. And you know what he said? What a good place to be. Why didn't you start with him? You hear what I'm telling you? We often try things. We work so hard. We try so hard. While what the Lord wanted was that we should have come to him from the start. Next slide, please. Now, you know, when we first came into the renewal, Brianna and myself, we were Christians for many years. Came to the Lord when we were quite young children. But 25 years ago about, the Lord did a new thing in our lives. And I really started reading the Bible for the first time, properly, from beginning to end. And the Lord showed me the most wonderful, amazing things. And one of the scriptures, I'll never forget, Jeremiah 29:11. And the Lord showed it to me, you know, the well-known scripture. And I told it to the pastor on the next Sunday, and he said, does that really stand in the Bible? I said, yes. And the next Sunday, he preached on it. You know, so we ordinary people also have a role to play. So, and this is one of the scriptures that just jumped out of the Bible when I saw it. It says, the eyes of Jehovah or the Lord run to and fro in all the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. What does this tell us? God has a desire to come through for us. But there is a condition. There's a heart condition, and I'm so glad that this morning it came through in the worship, you know. Our hearts, what is our heart's condition towards God? Now, you know, I can tell this honestly to you because I'm not stealing time from the state or anything. I work for the state, all my life. But I'm in my office in the mornings at 7. And when the other guys, my colleagues, move in front of their computers, they're also there at 7, by the way, many of them. They start writing articles and doing their emails and things. You know, I spend an hour each morning with the Lord. And that means I can read through the Bible about once a year, and I've got lots of time to pray and lots of time to let the Lord talk to me. And what I'm sharing with you this morning, the Lord actually showed me the last week in my quiet time. Because I had another little sermon for you, and then Tiens preached on it last Sunday, so I couldn't repeat the same sermon. He said, at least once I've heard from the Lord. That's what he said. But that's, of course, not true. But that put me in a hot spot because suddenly in 1 week I had to get another sermon, which is what I'm going to give you this morning. But, you know, one thing I learned quite early in my life, my walk with the Lord, is I say you must never take out a scripture, a verse from scripture in isolation. You must look at it in context. And this morning I'm going to show you what the context of this verse is. Where does it come from? Next slide. It comes from a story of a king. You know, there's only three kings after David who pulled down the high places, who actually served God fully with all their heart. He was the first one. King Asa. And you know, it's 2,000 or longer later, and we still talk about him, and you can go and Google him on the internet, and all his feats and defeats are there for you to read. But this king is a wonderful, you know, when I started reading the story in this week, I couldn't remember the whole story, and I was so excited when I read how he actually served the Lord and asked the Lord for help, and then the sad part when he didn't do it anymore. But I'm not going to concentrate on the negative this morning. I'm just going to show you there's two aspects. Either trusting God or trusting man. So this guy was involved with two wars. He was a king for 10 years. Quiet, no wars, no problems. And in those 10 years, he broke all the idols and the high places. He broke them down. And there was quiet and peace and blessing in his land. And I, if you will bear with me, I'm going to read these scriptures with you. They're quite long, but they will tell us a story. Okay, shall we go ahead? Let's just try and concentrate. Right, next slide. Okay, the first verse in 2 Chronicles 14, of those who want to read your Bibles. He was the son of Abijah, Asa. And it says, and his son Asa reigned in his place. This is now in the father's place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did the good and the right in the eyes of Jehovah his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the Asherah. And he commanded Judah, he actually commanded his people to seek Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. He also took out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fortified cities, okay, then verse 7, and he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars, because we have sought Jehovah our God, we have sought, and he has given us rest on every side, and they built and were blessed. And Asa had an army which bore bucklers and spears, 300,000 of Judah. And out of Benjamin there were 280,000 who bore shields and drew bows. All these mighty men of valor. You see here, this guy decided, I'm going to stand for God. There's no doubt. I'm going to be the one who's going to pull down the high places. And the other thing is, you can see two things from the scripture. There was rest in the land. There was peace. And the other thing is, he was blessed. You see these two things. Right. Next. Oh yes, this is just from the internet, showing him knocking down one of the idols there. Next. Right, so, you know, when things are going well in our lives and there's peace and blessing, do I tell you a little secret this morning if I say that you can expect something to happen? What did Jesus say? He's saying, this world you will have persecution and verdrukking of Afrikaans. But remember, I've overcome the world. So this life is about challenges all the time. So this king, it had to come sometime or other, and after 10 years, he did come in the person of another king, King Zerah. But just see how strong he was. This Ethiopian king came out against Asa with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. Now, you know, I mean, this is not a small challenge. But what did Asa do? Verse 11, and Asa cried to Jehovah his God and said, Jehovah, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with him who has no power. Help us, O Jehovah, O God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Jehovah, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And they won that victory, and every single the whole army was destroyed. And then the last verse says, and they struck the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? God coming through for him in an amazing way. And you know, I want to say something about that Asa crying out to God. You know, there are different types of prayer. Sometimes you have actually put a bit of pressure on people to pray, even yourself. But I tell you, when there's an army of 1 million in front of you, nobody has to ask you to pray. You agree? And the other thing is, you don't pray softly and you cry out to God. Have you cried out to God? You could pray in a different way. But God came through for him. Next slide. Yes, and then a prophet came to him and told him, the prophet Azariah, and he said, "Hear me, Asa and all Judah. Jehovah is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now, you know, I'm not here to put condemnation on anybody or even on myself, but I just want to tell you, if we go back to that verse, first verse I read to you, there is a condition of God's help. You know, God looks at the heart of man. Next slide. I think we can skip this one. Next one. Right. So, now the victory was obtained. Calm in the land. Peaceful. All the idols are broken down. But now, another challenge. Here comes another king. This time, it's the king of Israel, Baasha. But just look at Asa, the king Asa's response this time. He's not crying out to God. Verse 16, verse 2. "And Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasure of the house of Jehovah and of the king's house, and sent them to another king, Ben-Hadad of Syria, who lived at Damascus, saying," he asked this king, this other king, to come and help him. He doesn't ask God. And you know what? The other king did it. He did come through for him. He did come, and the fortresses and the things that this king Baasha built to surround him, he did come and he did help him. And in the natural, it looked as if Asa had another victory. Because he looked the same as the previous time. His country was not destroyed. His people still lived. The other king fled. But the method, the way it happened, was very different. Previous time, it was God got the victory for him. This time, it was the gold and the silver. So he had resources the second time, which he didn't have the first time, which he could trust. So resources can be good, but resources can be dangerous. And you'll see in a moment what happened. Next slide. And here the Lord comes with another prophet. Did you notice in the Old Testament how often the Lord spoke through prophets to people to tell them what the Lord actually felt about their behavior? Another prophet, Hanani, and he said, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on Jehovah your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped out of your hand." So what the Lord says, you think this was as good a victory as the previous one, but it wasn't. Because the previous one, you destroyed an army of a million men and a king, a kingdom. But this time, you were just saved by the skin of your teeth, but the army got away. I wanted to do so much more for you. I wanted to destroy that Syrian army, but you didn't allow me. You didn't call on me. Right. And then, this verse. The verse we started off this morning. And you see the context of this verse, where it comes from. It says, 2 Chronicles 69, "For the eyes of Jehovah run to and fro in all the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." And then this he adds, for King Asa, "You have done foolishly in this. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." So the peace is gone. The blessing is gone. It's now wars. And next slide. And there's the prophet from the internet again, Hanani, Asa bowing his head. Although it looks there as if he's actually listening and doing what the prophet, you know, actually submitting to the prophet, you'll see it's not the case. Next. Because look, next slide please, just look at his end. This time Asa was angry with the seer. You remember the previous time? He did what it said, he submitted. This time he's angry. And he puts him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of what he said. And Asa oppressed some of the people at this time. And because I'm a doctor, the next two bold verses I like very much. Because it's a lesson for me. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet. Until his disease was very grievous. Yet in his disease he did not seek to Jehovah, but to the physicians. Now you say I like that because I'm a doctor. I can tell you a little secret today. You know what I do when I'm sick? I don't go to the doctors first. Little secret, I go to God. God has healed me time and time again. He's healed my children. He's healed my family. My dad was on his deathbed. Doctors couldn't help him. He lived another 9 years. God raised him up. So I tell you this morning, whether you're a doctor or not a doctor, God is not impressed. When you're sick, God likes us to consult him first. Okay. Don't tell my colleagues this. They won't respect me for what I'm telling you now. No doctors in the house? No other doctors? Okay. So Asa died because of his illness. And he made three major mistakes at the end of his life. The first was that, next slide. The first was that he trusted in man. He moved his trust from God to trusting in man. The second was when he was rebuked by a man of God, he didn't take it. He was in such a position of pride at that stage that he just didn't accept what the prophet was saying, what God was telling him. And the third thing is, he refused to turn to the Lord even in times of adversity. And I promise you, I don't think that, well, obviously the doctors couldn't help him because he died. But I promise you that if he just continued through his life, who knows? If he turned to God in that period of illness and adversity and sickness, God would have restored him. Next slide. So, I would like to leave these two pictures with you today. This is also another powerful word that the Lord gave me in my quiet time one day. It's actually, these verses follow on each other. The first says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from Jehovah. How do you look when you're cursed? You look like a juniper. A juniper is a little bush, a salt bush in the desert. And you shall not see when good comes, but he shall live in the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land that is not inhabited. You know, I'm a gardener, and as a gardener, I like deserts. I like the emptiness of it and the beauty and the dunes and the whatever, but I wouldn't like to live there. And I prefer the next slide. Being a gardener. Blessed is a man who trusts in Jehovah, and Jehovah is his trust. How does he look? He shall be like a tree planted by the waters. It sends out its roots by the river, and it shall not fear when the heat comes, but its foliage shall be green, and he is not worried in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. Now you must take note here, both these things are plants. Let's say they're both Christians. Both Christians, eh? But the one who distrusts in man, the other one in God. The one is a little salt bush in the desert. The other one is a huge tree along the river. You know, and often my children tell me, and I'll be honest with you about this, when they were younger, children are very honest, and they ask questions. And terrible things would happen to people, and they would ask me and say, but Daddy, they are also Christians, you know. Why does these bad things happen to them? I don't say bad things don't happen to us, but in bad things we call on the God and he can reverse situations. But the thing is, we can't speak for somebody else. I'll tell you why not. Next slide. Because only God knows our heart. And the two next verses in Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then God comes through and he says, I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So what I'm telling you is, we cannot judge in this life, and we cannot say this is God and this is not God, because we do not know another man's heart. Only God knows the heart. That's why we can't judge. You understand? So, but what we must do is to keep our own hearts pure before the Lord. Not one of us here, we are not sinless, we sin. But we have a God who forgives, and he gives us, he's a God of second and third and many chances. And he's always gracious, and he's always faithful, and he's always for us. But we must guard our hearts more than anything else. Next slide. Right, so I'm just going to end off. The next congregation is coming in with three things, practical things. What is the main obstacle why we put our trust in man and not in God, or why we don't put our trust in God? And I think it is if we are strong, if we have the resources. Did you notice that King Asa didn't try to buy the first king over with money? I don't think he had it, or he had access to it. But when he became wealthy and he had resources, he could do it. So what I'm saying is, I love this verse. I've quoted it previously, where Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, I can tell you, I must tell you how many times, well, I really can tell you today, I don't want to end like King Asa. I want to end strongly. And I can tell you I've grown personally, Ria, myself, Rihanna, we have grown in this, in asking God. And you know, everything that we have today, the house we live, the children, well, you can just say it's the grace of God, of course it is, but we ask God for it. We ask God for our children to be selected for certain courses. They were not the brightest children at school, or perhaps they didn't work so hard. But, yeah, just my way of explaining it, you know. But many of them were not really, you know, they were not really, my son who wanted to do medicine, daughter wanted to do psychology and things like that. And then we start praying for their spouses, for the people they marry. We just prayed and prayed and prayed. We prayed for the, when our house we live in now, when the previous one was knocked down, we asked God, and we were very specific. We said, God, we would love this. We'd like a view. Rihanna wanted a more white, you know, more modern, and so on. And God gave us what we asked. Not everything, but He gives us things if you ask Him. And I'm just thinking of the words of Jesus who said, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. And so we have just come in there, not in that it was a good habit, by just giving everything. So giving everything to the Lord. And just Friday morning, you know, I'm due to retire at the end of February from my present job. I got a letter from overseas where they asked me to write a review. I won't tell you what journal it is because you'll think I'm boasting on a certain topic. And I said, God, but why now? I want to retire. I want to have a nice Christmas time. And I don't think I can do it. And I've got 110 excuses why I can't do it. And immediately I realized, you know, I'm just like Asa. I immediately thought, who around me can help me? And then the Lord said, what about me? If you come to me, I can help you. And I worked in that man's heart to send you this email, and I will help you. Just ask me. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to work over December, but the Lord will help me, and I won't only work in December. I'll have a nice Christmas and all these other things. Right, so what I want to say is, I think resources can be our own resources, and your own resources can be things like many things, you know, which actually prevents God from giving His full power in your life because you don't ask Him, you think He's strong in that area. So it's dangerous actually to be strong in an area because then you don't have to ask God. So the weaker you feel, suppose you ask to be a cell leader. My, no God, I can't do that. I honestly can't do it. But the Lord has laid it on the heart of the pastor of this church to ask you to be a worship leader. You know what? If you say no, it actually means that you don't trust God. That's a hard word, eh? You don't trust God, that He can come through for you to do what He's laid in the pastor's heart for you to do. That's how it works. Right, next slide. Okay, if I ask you to measure your level of peace that you have this morning from 1 to 10, those who have 10, put up your hands, please. You're not trusting God, man. Ah, Charlene, she's a winner. Charlene is a winner. You must, because you're the pastor's wife. Okay, you must do that. Okay, you know what I want to tell you this morning? When I was... Okay, let's first read these scriptures. The result of submitting your life to God, asking for His help, is that immediately He removes your stress and He replaces it with peace. Look at this wonderful word. Both these scriptures were also the ones that the Lord gave me through the years. The first one is He gives us perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. Second one, peace that surpasses all understanding. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And peace of God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want to make one thing clear this morning. God does not give us everything we ask for. Not every person with cancer is get healed. Not every situation is always turned around for our, you know, as we would have liked it to be. But you know, one thing God gives 100% of the time is peace. But did you notice the word there? Peace that surpasses understanding. If you have terminal cancer, and you know, we've been through people recently, quite a few people, because we're getting older, who died of cancer. People who knew the Lord. The Lord didn't heal them, although we asked for it. But these people died in peace. They had a peace that surpassed understanding, because you can't think that a person can have peace if you're in pain on morphine and you die. You know, many, many other situations I can quote. So, for me, the practice, one way that I can see that I've grown in this area, you know, previously, I was like that. By Friday afternoon, I was so tired. I just thought, I just need this weekend just to survive so they can start on Monday again. At the end of the year, before my holiday, I thought I couldn't work another day. I'm too tired. And you know, the Lord has removed that. Because I've come into this position of asking Him for help, and He's giving His peace to me, and I really don't, I love weekends and I love holidays, but I don't need them to sustain or to survive. Next. You know, what's the purpose of, for all of this? The purpose is to give God glory. Now, Rihanna loves this verse. She tells me it's the verse that's exactly in the middle of the Bible. If you count all the verses before it and behind it, this one is the middle verse of the Bible. Do it, Rihanna. Don't know where she read it. Go and count this afternoon and see whether she's right. And this verse says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. What does it say? What's the purpose of all of this? To give God glory. If we walk around at home and at work and we have peace, we give God glory. If people hear in testimonies how God has turned our situation around, we give God glory. So in the end, it's not about us. It's about Him. But He uses us to get the glory. Now, how does one practically do that? I honestly, as I've shared at the beginning of this talk, I believe in a proper quiet time. I know there's people who say they talk to the Lord all through the day. I also do that. But I still need a quiet time, because that's where you get the word in your, and you talk to God. And I always say to people, submit the day in the morning to the Lord. Don't complain at night for everything that went wrong. You know, rather start early in the day and go through your day and take the Lord through your day before you start. And asking Him for help in the areas that you know will be difficult. There may be difficult relationships at work. You may have difficult problems at home. You may have financial problems. You may have illnesses, weaknesses. You may have family. I don't know what your problem is. But what I'm asking you this morning is give it to Jesus and ask for His help. Because the word says His eyes are moving to and fro and He's looking for somebody to help. He wants to help us. So lay down those heavy burdens down this morning. Let the lightness come over you and the peace of God reign in your hearts. Okay. So I'm going to end off with a prayer, and then I would just like, is it, how much time is there left, Willem? 10 minutes. Okay, I'll just pray a short prayer, and then I would like us to turn to each other in twos. And, you know, I'm sure as we sit in here, I know it is true because you didn't put up your hand when I asked what's your peace level. Okay. So the fact is, each of you here, apart from Charlene, she's separated and she's holy. Apart from Charlene. Okay, apart from Charlene, all of us have problems. So we're going to sit in groups of two, and then we are going to just give it to the Lord. Just give that heavy thing, that thing that you that is taking your peace away this morning. You just hand it and ask God to help. Okay. So, and we will, Willem will tell us when the time is up. Okay, I'll just pray a prayer for us. Lord, this morning we just come before you, Lord, and Lord, thank you for that wonderful invitation. Lord, that you say that your eyes, Lord, are moving to and fro throughout the whole earth, Lord, to see somebody that you can prove yourself strongly to. Lord, and this morning, all of us, as we are here, Lord, we have problems, we have things that take our peace away. And this morning, Lord, we just ask that you bring us to a new level, Lord, of trusting in you and of just asking your help, Lord, and not to carry these heavy burdens that take away our peace. And Lord, we ask that, that we thank you for the testimonies that's going to come through and that it will be for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.